Let's open up to 171. 171, I love this hymn because it speaks about Jesus being the most special person in our life. Amen? It's amazing. Before one gets saved and comes to Jesus Christ and is born again, they couldn't give 2 cents about the Lord. But once you get saved and you're born again and you're spiritually redeemed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit, Jesus becomes your all in all. Amen? And that's what this hymn is about. Let's stand for our final hymn this morning. He's the Lily of the Valley. Glory to God. We'll sing all three. Thank you, Lord.
I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. When filled with the comfort in trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll.
Hallelujah!
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. All my griefs has taken, and all my sorrows born. In temptation he's my strong and my guitar. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power.
Oh, sorrow
he's
my comfort,
and Satan tempts my soul.
He tells me every care on him to roll.
Hallelujah!
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
On the third,
he will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, while the fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill.
In sorrow, he's my
comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll.
Hallelujah!
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
To God, please be seated, church. What a blessing to sing about that precious lily of the valley, the blessed Lord Jesus. I especially love that second stanza. It says, oh, he all my griefs has taken, all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart. And now he keeps me by his power. He keeps us, church, by his power, by his spirit and word. Amen? What a blessing it is. Glory to God to know that Jesus is our keeper. I call it preserving grace. Preservation of the Lord is his preserving grace. And he upholds us, David said, by his free spirit. And that, of course, means that his Holy Spirit gives us liberty and freedom. And we walk in that liberty as his children. What a blessing this morning. Let's grab our Bibles, church. We will sing again. But right now, let's get to our Sunday morning sermon and open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 3 this morning, as I sought the Lord this week in what to bring. He led me to this incredible passage concerning two mothers in 1 Kings chapter 3. Kids, you can go in the Sunday school room. Girls, you can go in the Sunday school room. No problem. We got worker in there. Praise the Lord. And 1 Kings chapter number 3. The year is 1014 BC. David the king has passed the baton to his son Solomon. Amen. As the Lord instructed him to do. He's gone home to be with the Lord at this point, and Solomon has taken the throne over all Israel. Now Solomon, his dear son, has been crowned king of all 12 tribes. There was no divided monarchy at this point. That wasn't until Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, came along and stole 10 tribes and went up north. So we have a solitary unified kingdom over Israel, and we will have that again during the millennium. That day is coming back, beloved. Now, note here in 1 Kings chapter 3, an incredible passage. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning, church. 1 Kings chapter 3. I told you, watch those 3:16s in the Bible. We'll begin reading in verse 16. And we read, "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, Solomon, and stood before him. And one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. And I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thine. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, Thus one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. The other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king Solomon said, Bring me a sword. And they brought the sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then said the king, and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Look, beloved, I want to speak to you this morning briefly on a mother's split decision. A mother's split decision. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this passage. And indeed, there is a split decision to be made here, not being facetious at all. And Lord, we thank you that the king knew exactly how to get the truth out of these two gals, and he did. And Lord, I thank you for the word of God today for the mothers. Lord, that there is much wisdom to glean in this passage, and we can learn a lot concerning a godly mother. And Father, we just ask you to bless your holy word as we delve into this passage and see what meaneth these things. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, Amen. 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 Beloved, it's Mother's Day. Glory to God. Our text here has to do with mothers and wisdom. The two need to go hand in hand. Amen, moms? Moms need wisdom. Glory to God. God appears to King Solomon in a dream. Look at me at verse number 5. Of our text. Look at verse number 5. Don't miss this. God appears to Solomon. And in verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, Ask what I shall give thee. Did you see that? God gives Solomon a blank check in verse 5, church. Listen up. He says, I am going to give you anything you ask me for. That's how much God honored the king. Amen? How, wouldn't that be something if God came to you and said, Ask what I shall give thee, and it'll be yours. You know, some of us, you know, oh, I want to hit the lottery. Oh, Lord, I want a beautiful boat. Lord, I want a huge mansion. Lord, I want $1 million in my bank account. Lord, I want fame and wealth and all this nonsense. Solomon doesn't ask for any of that. Look at verse number 6. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son, and to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise unto thee like thee. And I have given also thee that which thou hast not asked for, riches and honor and glory. Listen, folks, God said, Solomon, you've asked me for the right thing, and you've got it. Amen? I love it because Solomon became the wisest man on planet Earth. He wrote the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Amen? Now, we know he had problems in latter years, but he repented. And the book of Ecclesiastes makes that clear. Amen? But here, God gives Solomon a wise heart. Our passage before us this morning, beloved, required wisdom on the king's part. He had two gals come to him. They were both mothers. They both had a problem. One child had died. The other stole the other baby. And the Solomon immediately came up with an answer. Give me a sword. Now, folks, Solomon would not have hurt that baby. But he knew that the real mother would pipe up. Amen? It's an incredible passage of a mother who cared about her son enough to give him up for his life. Oh, folks, we need to take heed this morning to what saith the scripture. Yes, indeed, God granted Solomon his request, gave him wisdom above all others. And look at verse 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Yeah, they came from all over the world to visit Solomon's kingdom. They couldn't believe his throne of ivory and all these. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, I got me apes, I got me peacocks, I got me gardens, and I got me horses and stables, and I got me all these riches, gold above, you know, silver, precious stones. Solomon became the richest king on earth. Why? Because of this passage where he asked God for a wise and understanding heart. And God gave it to him. Beloved, what do we see about motherhood in these verses this morning? I want to suggest five things that demand our attention from our text. The first one is very important. That is that mothers aren't perfect. Amen? Mothers aren't perfect. These two mothers were harlots. Notice how the Bible points that out. They weren't good girls. They were prostitutes. Look at verse 16. Then came there two what? Women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. Now, my favorite Mother's Day sermons aren't ones on the perfect mother. When you preach on the perfect mother, mothers have discouragement because you can't possibly be a perfect mother. However, when I preach on Jezebel or these two harlots or mothers like this, that mothers leave the service thinking, hey, I'm a pretty good mother after all. I didn't do what that gal in the Bible did, you know. So, folks, listen. Mothers first are not perfect. Mothers are human, they're sinners, and they have faults. Nobody is the perfect mother. Nobody had a perfect mother. Nobody is the perfect mother. She's never been born. She's never been invented. She's never existed. As close as you're going to get is Mrs. Cleaver. Amen, Beaver's mom? How about Mrs. Anderson? Father knows best. Pretty good mother, right? But it's not perfect. Not perfect. Mother's Day can be a difficult time for some. It brings back some memories of a wonderful mother who is dearly missed, like my own, because she has died and gone on to heaven. For others, it reminds them of their mother who may have been or may still be a difficult mother. There are some mothers that you can never please. They are miserable and make everybody around them miserable. They can be hateful and hurtful and harmful, which can make Mother's Day a difficult time indeed. But mothers aren't perfect. Maybe that will take some of the pressure off of some of you mothers here this morning who don't meet your own expectations of motherhood. You're not expected to be perfect. You will make mistakes. My mother wasn't perfect, but God chose her for me, and I thank God for that. Oh, my mom was such a blessed woman. My mom was so wonderful. I wouldn't trade her for the world. My mom was so special, and I got to lead her to Jesus. Amen? Oh, what a blessing. That was the best day of my life. Ephesians 6 and verse 2, don't turn there. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You honor your mom, and you will be blessed, the Bible says. There's a promise that goes along with that, and that is longevity of life. In our story before us, beloved, we find one mother who was cruel, selfish, and heartless. During the night, she had laid on her child, and it died. She took her dead child and replaced it with her roommate's living child, hoping she wouldn't notice. This was a thoughtless, cruel, selfish thing to do, wasn't it? Mothers aren't perfect, but some are closer to it than others. Secondly, this morning, not only mothers aren't perfect, but secondly, mothers know their own children. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 20 of our text, 1 Kings 3. Look at verse 20. Verse 19, this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom. And her dead child she laid in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. She said, Sir, your honor, king, your majesty, that baby that I found in my bosom in the morning was not the son that I bore. See that in verse 21? She knew it wasn't her son. Why? Mothers know their children. You can't fool a mother. You can't replace a baby with another baby and have that mother believe it's her baby. There's no way. It's not going to happen. They know their baby from the minute they're born to the minute they die. They know. Why? Because mothers know their children. Now, when she examined her child, she immediately realized it wasn't hers. This was a newborn child indeed. Now, can I speak as a man? They all look alike to me. Us guys are not good at discerning certain things, you know? We're clueless when it comes to particular areas, Mom. But you moms are not that way. You can't be fooled. You can't be tricked. Now, I can't even look at my own children's baby pictures and tell them apart. But mothers aren't like that. They know their children even from the moment of their birth. You can't fool a mother. Fathers are gullible, easily fooled, and sometimes stupid. Amen, guys? I speak from experience. But you can't fool a mother. At least I couldn't fool mine. They know when you're lying, don't they? Trying to hide something from them. Listen, they know when you're sick. They know when you're afraid about something. They know when you're worried about something. They know what's ticking in your little heart. Why? Because moms know their children. Mothers know these things. They have a sixth sense when it comes to motherhood. They have eyes in the back of their head, a special gift from God. This woman's child was only a few days old, but she knew her child. There's a special bond between a mother and her children. Amen? Go to 2 Kings. Hold your place in our text and go to 2 Kings chapter 4. Look at this text. Speaking of another mother who knew her child. 2 Kings chapter 4. Look at this. We have the prophet Elisha, who did twice the amount of miracles that Elijah ever did. Glory to God. This man of God was feared. Oh yeah, he had the power of God. Look at this. In 2 Kings chapter 4, look with me at verse 17. Don't miss this. And the woman conceived Yes, sir. Hey, what do you want from God? She said, oh, I want a son. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother.
Time out. Is anybody listening? The father,
the little boy is working in the field with the father. And the kid gets a migraine, a severe pain in his head. And he comes, dad, dad, my head. And he says to some one of his servants, take him to his mother. Just take him to his mother. You know, he couldn't be bothered. Dad, there's something wrong with the kid, you know. Look at the next verse here. And carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat her on her knees till noon and then died. The boy died, dad. It was a little more serious than just a little headache, you know. But listen, folks. This mother knew her son, right? This mother knew her son. There was a special bond there. Why? Because she asked God for this child. And he granted that request. And look at that. They took him to his mother. And what did he do? Look at that in verse 20. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees. He sat in her lap. You see that? That little boy knew where to find comfort. That little boy knew where to find love and attention and caring. It was from mom, not from dad. Dad said, get him out of my sight. But mom wasn't that way. It says until noon he sat on her lap before he died. I love it. Mothers know their children. But thirdly this morning, moving right along, mothers aren't perfect. Mothers know their children. But thirdly, mothers will sacrifice for their kids. Amen. Back in our text, look with me. In 1 Kings chapter 3, don't miss this. Mothers will sacrifice for their children. Look at verse 21. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Now, look at verse 22. She says, my son is alive. See that? She's trying to tell the king, my son, I am willing to sacrifice for my son. She rose up. Why? Look at verse 21. When I rose in the morning, notice, she rose up early in the morning to do what? To nurse the kid. Moms do that, you know. Moms get up at 3:30 in the morning to change that diaper. Moms get up in the middle of the night when the baby's crying and rocks them to sleep. Moms get up early in the morning to feed the kid. Look at that. She went early to in the morning to give my child suck. The other mom wasn't doing that. Before daylight, she was up and at it with the kid. As it got lighter, she got a good look at the child and realized it wasn't her child. Mom's the one who will make these sacrifices for her child. But most of the time, folks, we don't realize the sacrifices that mothers make. Do you know why? It's because they never tell you. Listen, if you find out at all, it's usually later in life. Oh, you don't know it, but when you were 3, you know, I had to carry you home from the store that's a mile and a half down the road because you wouldn't walk, you know. And she did that. Why? Because it's her child. Mothers sacrifice for their children. Go with me to Genesis chapter 27 and hold your place in 1 Kings. Genesis 27. Here's a mom that sacrificed for her child. Moms aren't afraid. Moms aren't afraid to roll up their sleeves and get their hands dirty for their kids. Amen? That's called sacrifice. Every mother, every good mother has that in her. Genesis chapter 27. Look with me. We have a woman named Rebecca. Amen? Rebecca loved Jacob. Oh, did she love Jacob. Look with me here. In Genesis 27, look at verse 6. And Rebecca spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now, Rebekah understood that Isaac was about to pass the Abrahamic blessing on to the wrong man, Esau. That could not happen. That Abrahamic blessing needed to be passed on to Jacob, not Esau. So Rebecca comes along and says, "Now therefore, my son, Jacob, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, Isaac, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death, Jacob." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, look at it, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. Notice verse 13. Rebekah loved that boy so much that she was willing to take the curse of God for him. Wow! You talk about sacrifice. That's personal. Amen? She wanted Jacob to be blessed by God to the point where she was willing not to be blessed by God. That is a mother who really loves her child. That's called sacrificial love, by the way. It's unconditional. Listen, this week I saw on the news Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was named the NBA's MVP, the most valuable player in the entire NBA. Boy, that guy can play basketball. Well, they have a big ceremony to honor the MVP every year. So he was at the ceremony, and the MVP has to give a speech about becoming the most valuable player. And you know what that man did? He's a humble man. He got up and he said, "I'm not the MVP. My mother," she's sitting in the front row. He said, "My mother's the MVP." And he said, "That's because when I was a kid, I did not have," he said, "me and my brothers and sisters, we were so poor, we didn't have food to eat some nights." And he said, "You know what my mother did?" He said, "She gave us food and she went to bed hungry." How many nights she went to bed hungry, and her mother, the tears, they showed her mother on the camera, and her mother's tears flowing down her cheeks. And guess what? Kevin Durant, tears started flowing down his cheeks because he couldn't believe the sacrifice that his mother had made for him as a little boy. But you know what? He said, "She's the MVP, not me. Don't look at me. My mom, that's someone to look at." What a hero. Amen? That's a good mother right there. That's a sacrificial love of a mother. Beloved, the real mother of this baby was willing to sacrifice her motherhood for the life of her child. Solomon, in all his wisdom, knew this, and he determined the mother of the child from the mother's sacrificial love. Are you listening? A good mother will sacrifice for her children. You buy them the best things you can afford, even if it means going without things yourself, Mom. You take them to practices, to school events, to Little League, to social events, to church. If it means taking up most of your time that you should be spending on yourself, no, you sacrifice that for your kids. You encourage them to participate in sports, FFA, band, and a dozen other activities, even if it means more work for you, Mom. That's what you do because you sacrifice for them. But let me caution you, mothers, you can let your child get so involved in everything else but the Lord, the things of God, that the most important thing is neglected, which is their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This must be emphasized, mothers. The more activities there are, the further the Lord gets pushed back in some families. Priorities must take precedence. Be careful of this. Don't sacrifice your child's relationship with Jesus for activities. Fourthly, this morning, mothers have problems. Amen? Mothers have problems. Why? Because they got kids. Look with me at verse 23. Don't miss this. In 1 Kings 3, look at verse 23. Mothers have problems. In verse 23, we read these words. Then said the king, "The one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living." And the king said, "Bring me a sword." And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." She had a problem. Amen? Her child was about to be cut in half. Not really. But this is what the king said, and what the king's word, his servants would have done it in a heartbeat. Anything the king said to do, the servants would do. That's the power. That's the power of a king. We serve the King of Kings, and his word, where the word of a king is, there is power. Our church verse, glory to God, because the King of Kings has power. But look at this problem that she has. Listen, there was no DNA testing back then to determine who was the proper mother. She had a big problem, and she knew it. Ladies, you thought you had problems before you became a mother. Now, not only have you your problems, but you have your children's problems. And sometimes your husband's problems. Someone said amen on that. Being a mother is high stress. The stress may get lighter or change with time, but it never disappears. A good mother will always hurt when her children hurt, no matter how old they get. Hear what I said? I remember my mom, when she was alive, something go wrong in my life, and she'd be right there. Hug on me, love on me, you know, encourage me, call me on the phone. Mom was always there. Why? Because moms know when you got a problem. Motherhood is a lifelong ministry. Listen, someone once said this, which I suppose could refer to motherhood. It's a little like wrestling a gorilla. You don't quit when you're tired. You quit when the gorilla's tired. You got to keep on going, amen? You don't have a choice in the matter, in other words. Finally, fifthly, mothers have a heavenly father. Oh, I like this part. Look with me in verse 26. Mothers have a heavenly father to go to. Verse 26. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king. For her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Now, folks, listen carefully. King Solomon took the time to deal with these two harlot mothers. Certainly, they don't deserve any special time before the busy king of Israel. Amen? They're harlots. But he chooses to hear the matter fully and to grant her her request. She said, give her the child and let it live. Don't hurt my child. Mom, you have a heavenly father to go to. A heavenly father who will always take time for you, no matter what you're going through. There's no such thing as a stress-free motherhood. There's no such thing as stress-free mothers. God is always there for you, and he's even wiser than Solomon. He gave him his wisdom, and he'll even give you the wisdom you need in your situation. James 1:5 says, if anyone of you lack wisdom, let him or her ask of God, which give it to all men and women liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. That means if you're facing a problem, ask God what to do. He'll show you. Glory to God. In conclusion, this morning, church, parents need our prayers. Our children need our prayers. Our mothers need our prayers. Why? We are in a spiritual warfare, a battle for our homes, for our families, for our marriages, for our children. You and I are in the middle of the struggle. At least we better be. Don't give up. Do what's right. Be the mother, father, grandfather, uncle, brother, sister, whatever it is that God wants you to be. You're not in the struggle alone. God is your father. He always is there for you. And I believe especially for all the mothers. In closing, let me give you this. I remember when I was 5 years old. I was 5 years old. My baby sister was 3, Patty Ann. Patty Ann came down with spinal meningitis, my little sister. And in 1963, that was 1963, basically you die. They didn't know what to do, spinal meningitis in 1963. Well, I remember my mom taking my little sister to the hospital. And the doctors told her, you need to get out of this room, ma'am. Your child has spinal meningitis. It's highly contagious. And if you get it, there's nothing we can do. You're dead. And now, there was 5 kids. My mom had 5 kids. 2 miscarriages. But my mom said to that doctor, guess what? I'm not leaving this hospital room without her. He said, what? He said, you can catch this if you get too close to her. We're quarantined in this room. She said, lock the door with me in it. I'm not leaving. For 3 days and 3 nights, my mother stood by her bedside praying and holding my sister's hand. 3-year-old girl. And guess what? After 3 days, the fever left her, and the Lord healed her, and my mom came home with my sister. Why? Because she's a mother. Because she's a mother. And she said, Doctor, I'm not leaving without my baby. I don't care what you say. Glory to God. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that this mother's split decision turned out okay because she did the right thing. You can do the right thing too. Father in heaven, thank you today for the message from 1 Kings chapter 3. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of Solomon, that he knew how to sort through this situation and get to the bottom of the truth. And Lord, thank you that when he found the truth, he did the right thing and restored the baby to its mother. Lord, I thank you for the lessons that we can glean, not just the moms, but us guys too. We need wisdom more than them. We're kind of dumb. But Lord, I thank you that we can do the right thing too, that we can seek wisdom from you, that we can go to the King of Kings and seek his intercession, glory to God, when we have a problem like this mother did. We thank you for your word today, Lord. Bless the moms. Oh, this special day, Lord, we honor them and we commit them into your holy hands. Mothers are special to you, Lord, because you even had one. Wow, an earthly mom named Mary. What a precious thing it was. And Lord, you cared so much for your earthly mom that when you were dying on that cross, you gave her another son named John. And you gave her another home. And you commanded John to take her home and said, this is thy mother from now on. And he did. Lord, we thank you for the mothers today in Jesus' holy name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, people. Let's grab our hymnals this morning, church, and open up to hymn number 231. Hymn 231. Glory to God. And we will sing first, third, and fourth of 231. Let's stand. I was seeking the Lord this week and saying, Lord, what would you have me to bring for Mother's Day? And so the Holy Spirit was leading me to so many passages in the scripture having to do with mothers. The Bible has a tremendous amount to say concerning the moms. Glory to God. Hymn number 231. And we'll sing first, third, and fourth. Don't you need them? Mothers need them. Fathers need them. Children need them. We all need them. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can ease of woe. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. On the third, I need thee every hour. In joy or pain, come quickly and abide. All life is pain. Think about it, church. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. On the fourth. I need thee every hour. Most holy one, oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour. to God. Beloved, I'm going to ask Brother Kyle to dismiss us in prayer. Happy Mother's Day to all. We will be, we got a little clap. We will indeed be having church tonight at 6 p.m. Glory to God. We'll be back in our studies of the millennial kingdom. It's going to be great. Hope to see you there. Brother Kyle?
Lord, we thank you once again that we've been able to gather in your sight, Lord, in the company of others of like mind, Lord, to hear your word, study your word, to get the message you have for us delivered. We thank you for the preacher you've given us. We pray, Lord, you continue to bless him as he continues to bring us your word as you would have it delivered. We thank you for the mothers, Lord, that are here and those that couldn't be. We thank you for their never-ending love, Lord, and their constant sacrifice and vigil watch over all of us since we were children and as we grew, Lord, to make sure that we were raised the way that we should be, and to guide us and to teach us and to bring us up in the manner we should be. We just pray, Lord, you be with these mothers, you bless them greatly, and walk with them and just give them peace and comfort as they continue on. And we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people.